everyone. Welcome to This Is Whole Life. It is a Saturday morning, but you don't know that because your earliest you're listening to this is Wednesday morning. And for my anonymous listener who likes to text me, where's my podcast? I'm sorry, I fell asleep. So it didn't come out until 7 a.m. instead of the usual time. So I don't know what time, whoever you are. We have great discourse in the chat, in the by text message. And I'm not sure what time you usually get up in the morning, but I got up because it was a long day, super tired, didn't get it done. This is 2 weeks ago, and 5 a.m. I fell asleep. And then I wasn't done. So I woke up about 6:30. Again, it was a multiple night of wake up, sleep, get some done, wake up, sleep, sitting on the couch, and finally about 7:30. But I noticed at 7 a.m., the text said, where's my podcast?
Would you have been more or less bothered if no one had messaged you?
No. I would be more bothered because every so often something goes wrong in editing and you're like, hey, and someone's like, hey, we can hear Melanie, but it's only in the background. Like her microphone got turned off.
And Randy's like, no, I did that on purpose.
And I'm like, what happened? And then you have to go back and check and re-upload the file. And then you have to tell everyone who has already have it hit their feed, you have to refresh your feed to get the new one. So every so often we go through that. And we used to have a Discord channel before Discord just decided to take 85% of our channels and throw them away and delete them for no reason that we can find, and they have no type of customer care to actually care. So, you know, we're working on something new. I've promised you Slack, and I think it was last week we said, hey, I think Lucas got it figured out. and then this week happened, and with a lot of other things, it was Jeff Cincomani's memorial service last night. And for those of you that have listened and have seen Jeff, even if it's just through watching online, in today's show notes, if you swipe up, you will find a link to YouTube where last night we live streamed it, and it is, of course, archived there. So you will have a chance to check it out. It was a beautiful ceremony.
It's very nice.
By the beach. And everyone I talked to was like, man, how about the weather tonight and the skies, right? Mm-hmm. Like the skies were beautiful with the sunset. And for August 1st, it's as good as you're going to get ever for a night. Mm-hmm. None. Hurricane in the area drawing out the moisture. Minus that, this is the best night you get all summer long. It was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. God smiled on us for sure. So if you're just joining us, this is Whole Life, and this is from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. And today, because it's a Saturday, we have a special guest, because special guest is not going to be here at normal podcast time.
Wow. Oh, throw me under the bus.
But listen, there you have a clue. Does anyone know who it is? So text me if you knew who it was just by his early words, because it wasn't Ken. And it's not going to be Ken next week either, but I don't know if next week's guest has been on the program before or not. I don't think so, maybe.
I don't recall either.
We'll have to ask them. Ooh, I saved it at the very last. This is Steve. Steve Carlson, welcome, Steve, to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, clapping and everything.
Man, we got to get a golf clap on here.
That was just an app. They just pushed the clap button.
There is one on the board, actually.
I believe it. One. I do.
But anyway, Steve is part of our staff here at Whole Life Church. And so he was preaching, easy for me to say. His message today was Bigger Than Me, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's
and
it.
So before we get started, tell us a little bit about Steve. Who is Steve? I mean, I think Steve's pretty awesome, but I mean, I just, you know, so everybody else knows.
I mean, we both like motorcycles.
Oh, see.
So there's that. There is a magical connection between the two of us.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yes, my name is Steve Carlson. That is correct. And been living in Florida for a whopping 2 months, something like that. So yay. I'm a veteran.
Enjoying
a professional.
Summer.
Yeah, just in time for summer.
Enjoying summer. Now, okay, I'm going to say this, understanding that I'll probably eat my words at some point, but it's okay. Like, I know this is the bad time of year where you're supposed to hate all things and just be walking around, you know, tears on your face, or that or the humidity. It's one of the two that's on your face. But it's okay. Like, I feel warm, and that's a win. Like, I'm cold-blooded. I've been cold for the last forever, and
So this is good stuff.
This is good. I'm not going to lie. There's moments I step outside and go, yikes, like this is intense. But then I realize it could be cold and then I feel happy again.
Well, so. as Rick would say, you've already got sand in your shoes then.
Yeah.
He did actually say that to me this morning. Did you hear that or you just assumed
that was... Yeah, he
told me. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, no, so I do have sand in my shoes, except I usually wear sandals.
Sandals.
So there's that.
Yeah. So where'd you come from?
I came from Ohio.
Okay.
And was there for 14 years working with Kettering Health and the church and the conference office. So a lot of work in Kettering, a lot of good people, a lot of time hanging out up there, which was good, but decided it was time for a change. So
nice.
Yeah. Looked around a bit, talked to the family. We made some serious decisions about what we wanted our life to look like and schools and job opportunities and weather and family and all that stuff. You try to weigh out when you make a move and pray that you made good life choices. And so it landed us down here, had some conversations with Advent Health, and they said, we've been looking for a way to be a little more strategic in how we connect some of our campuses. And if your history with working with churches and the hospitals and the university could be used here, then let's make it happen. So I was thrilled for the opportunity. My job, I don't know if you said it already, chaplain for educational spiritual integration. So working from the church.
That's a big one.
I know, right? Yeah. I just said, how many words can you put in my job title to make me sound important? And this is what they came up with.
I think they're about accurate, though. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Didn't it feel weighted about...
It felt accurate? Right. It did. Yeah. Of course, it's on the screen. It's not a lower third. It's a lower half. So... Yeah. we might have to shorten it. I don't know what the acronym is, and I'm scared to figure it out right now.
The longer I'm here, I'm hoping they just add words to it. Like every year I'm here until it's a whole paragraph. You know? So no, that is the job though. So my office is here at the church. So lucky me, get to hang out with you guys and all the wonderful people that work here. And then collaborate with the graduate medical education program over at the hospital, our residents that are coming in, supporting them, connecting with them, as well as the university students. So lots of good people. And I'm also realizing just how many people are here and how many layers there are here. It's going to take me about 73 years ballpark to understand it.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it. Yeah, roughly 72 or 73 years. Yeah.
I like the math. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So my spiritual gift.
Yeah. Well, that's what
I'm glad you noticed.
Clearly, that's another thing we share in common. You also mentioned your family and your family being your motorcycle. So did you bring anybody else with you other than your family, your Triumph?
I did bring my Triumph. So there's that. And I also, my wife said I was barely going to have a family if I kept a motorcycle for very long. So we're working things out. She's like, hey, going to have to choose where your love lands, you know, one of these.
So we
two.
Need to go for a ride and then bring something really nice back for her. It's like the only way this could have happened was because we were on the motorcycle.
It's true. I figured just a ride on the motorcycle would be enough for her, but
I have a lot of good ideas.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we'll talk.
Okay.
I do love the motorcycle, not nearly as much as my family. So just for some clarity here. Yeah.
Good.
I definitely really like my family and we're not in jeopardy in any way. Everything's good. My wife, Daisy, she works for Advent Health in the corporate office working with human resources. And so lovely person, smart person, beautiful.
She is lovely.
She is phenomenal. I'm a big fan. Yeah. Actually, we had yesterday, I guess it would have been Friday for those of you who are hearing this later, was our 21-year anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you.
So that's a testament to your good decision-making.
Or her patience, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that, both. Potato, potato. It's good.
And how long has the motorcycle been part of the equation? I'm trying to...
It's kind of come and gone from the relationship.
We've
had a rocky relationship with that. Different chapters.
So so the extra points of mentioning your anniversary means you get to keep the Triumph for a little bit longer.
One can hope.
Well, and the kids always play into that equation when it becomes more and less popular through the mirror. Yeah, I get that. That's been a part of mine too.
Yeah. So it's all good. It's all worked out. But so my wife is here. My kids as well. I've got two high school boys, a freshman and a junior at Forest Lake Academy. So 14 and 16 years old. So it's really nice to have people in the house with all the answers. It's been helpful to not have to wonder anymore about anything.
Who needs Google?
Thank you. Right.
Yeah.
I realized how to drive when my kids started doing driver's ed.
Congratulations. Oh,
did you? Yeah, I didn't know all the things I was doing wrong until they took driver's ed.
What a relief. That's good. Like,
kids are so helpful.
They are helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Between them and all the people looking at you on I-4 as you drive past them that are also telling you how to drive,
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to take advice from somebody who turns left from the far right lane.
You're lost. It could be way more fun for you out there.
You don't even know the excitement you're leaving on the table just like on a daily basis if you're not doing that.
Yeah, Florida's a special place to drive. So I too have been relearning how to drive since I got here. So
drive, survive. I mean, the words are interchangeable there just depending on how you, how fast and where and just choosing to be on the roadway. That's about it. That's the minimum. So, all right. So we've got a chance to meet Steve a little bit. So I would encourage you, should you have not met Steve yet, go and check out the message. That is also in today's show notes when you swipe up. You can catch his message also in those show notes when you click on the link that says Speaking of Grace, our sister podcast, where that will land this afternoon, far before the time you will even have a chance to hear this episode to know to go and check for it. So how about that? But that will give you a visual as well. So when you see Steve around, you can say, hey, that's Greg, is his name? Steve? I forget. I forget. What did his lower third say? Did it say Greg?
It said Steve.
It said Steve. Yeah, okay, Steve. So it is Steve. So
you should probably give a 5-second clarification for this. Okay, so when I got hired, nobody knew who I was except that that my boss, Greg, was working on hiring somebody. And so they didn't know who I was. And they said, yeah, I think Greg is coming to work here. And so I became Greg for a long time.
We only called you Greg for the first few months.
Yeah. And today,
I haven't been here for a few months yet, but
and
just to be clear, in case anybody missed that.
That was a forecast, actually.
It was a prophecy, actually.
So, you know, that's that we have, and sitting next to me, I didn't introduce, is Half-War Lucas.
Oh, thank you.
And when
I found my other half.
We lost the first half of the ore in Lake Dora, and we found it at Bear Lake.
There you go.
On Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. So hopefully we'll have that. We'll have the new Slack up so that we can drop that picture in and then you can get an idea of what Half-War Lucas it looks like. If you haven't had a chance to meet him, or you can go to the staff page, but you'll just find him under Lucas because we're professional that way.
Clearly.
Clearly.
Very professional.
Very, very. So bigger than me. So you're asked to, you're new. You're settling a new job. The whole family is here. Everybody's getting settled, at least. I mean, school is
next week.
I was gonna say Monday, or is it like a week from?
Yeah, Wednesday of this next week is sort of like the orientation. The new guy. Which building do you go to? How do you find lunch? Things like that.
Yeah, important, especially with boys. Like, where's that lunch at? Because. And I hope it's like at the 11 o'clock, not the noon hour.
I'm not even sure. I'm that prepared.
That prepared.
For
well,
this next week.
So you're just now sort of like getting settled, and you're here, and someone approaches you and is like, "I think it's your turn to preach." Like that seems soon. How did this come about?
Well, there's a man named Ken who seems to have a little sway around here. He shows up on his podcast every now and again.
Ken. I'm sure. Oh,
you'll meet him someday. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's a decent guy.
Yeah. He sounds nice.
You'll probably like him.
Yeah.
Now, he gave me the opportunity to speak, and it's a lovely opportunity, chance to be able to get connected with people and to meet all those who are going to the church that I haven't had the chance to meet yet, and to share with them a little bit about who I am. And it just takes a long time. For those of you that haven't done this recently, when you move, it's weird. It's disorienting. Even if it's good and you feel like, hey, this is the right choice, it doesn't matter. It's still weird. And it takes a long time to get to know people, for them to get to know you, to just feel like there's some level of familiarity to what's going on. And so I was very thankful when Ken said, hey, we'll give you the chance to talk to the church a little bit and have them get to know you. And so that's what happened this morning. Yeah.
So was this we're giving you a topic, pick your own.
It was a pick your own.
Pick your own.
Yeah, it was very, it was a dangerous move on their part.
Liberation is what.
Wow.
It's what we offered. And
he took it.
He took it.
It's very gracious of you. I do feel liberated.
Woo. Okay. So that, to me, that's almost more difficult though, especially just given everything that like you've mentioned, you know, getting settled, moving, it's new, it's different. Even if it's good, it's different. If you tell me I need a sermon on Moses. Okay, cool. I know where I can find him. I just got to go to Exodus and I can, you know, pretty much figure out what I need. I'll probably ask a teenager or maybe go to Google. I might ask AI a few things. But coming up with doing all those things plus coming up with what should I talk about? What's appropriate, you know, like what's interesting, what's going to be valuable to my new crew as I come aboard for a message twice. So that's the other part. I feel like the message has to be good enough to survive one normally, but then if it has to survive twice.
I love how, as we reference my sermon, you say survive, like I'm sending people through the guillotine or something.
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to be, I don't think anyone sticks around from one to two, from first to second. I think it's a totally different audience.
Some of the more holy people do.
Yeah. And clearly our online people, most of our online people come for both services.
Yes.
And it's exactly, you know, second is exactly the same as first, pretty much. Yeah. Given a thee or a thou and an and or an or that might get, you know, switched in the message.
We don't want one service to feel left out if they don't get something that the other service
got. Yeah, no, so. For sure. I mean, we make sure we get videos that they didn't see, baptisms they didn't see. Mm-hmm. We make sure that those get put into program. So, you know, we try to do that.
I mean, don't sell me short. I could do some sort of huge blunder I didn't do in the first service. Like, there's still opportunity for...
Oh, well, I mean, I'm looking forward to it just to see what happens.
I know. I see the look in your eyes.
Yeah. I mean, no one's betting on this at all because we don't gamble here.
Clearly.
No. Yeah. So... Tell me why Bigger Than Me was what you came up with. What was the thought going in that, you know, I think this is a good word that I think people will enjoy hearing and maybe need to hear all at the same time.
Well, I think honestly, it was a little bit of a me emotionally processing this whole journey of coming to Florida, honestly. Okay. You know, when you make a move like this, as I was just talking about, it's complicated for sure, but for people like me, and I'm sure anybody listening to this podcast, you're much more mature than I am, but it's easy for me taking a big step like this and meeting people and trying to figure out who you are in a new community, in a new space, to start to look at, okay, well, what do I bring to the table?
Hmm.
Right? Like, you guys are very talented people. Ken is a very talented pastor. We live in a very talented professional community with a lot of gifted people. That's and true. So to step into a space like that, my more immature side, it's very easy to start looking and saying, well, man, I hope I have something to offer to this. And so that's the first piece. I'll come back to that in a second. The second piece is then easily starting to look and saying, well, it's difficult moving down here. And you kind of run through all of this is what's been complicated about getting here. And this is what's complicated about settling here and getting a house and getting your, you know, getting to know the people that you work with and figuring out, you know, triaging where you should be spending your time and what you're working on and what resources do I have available to me and building relationships and stuff that matters, but they're difficult and they're complicated. And so it's easy to focus on that or just to start looking around you and saying, all right, well, like who else could do my job? Because there are other people that could do this job, you know, and there are very gifted, talented people around here. And so for me, it's tempting in my weaker moments, which do happen more than I'd like to admit, to fall into one of those categories. You know, what am I bringing to the table? What are my strengths? Or, you know, what are the, you know, the problems that I'm going to have to overcome as I get in here? Or how do I add up to the people that are around me? And so because of this, I think whether it was just my own insecurities or God gifting me with this, John 21, which is what I spoke about, popped into my head. And I started thinking through this story of Peter. And for those of you that heard the sermon, I won't walk through the whole thing for you, but he has this encounter with Jesus where he thinks Jesus is gone, that he's died, he's not coming back, and everything that Peter has given his life for is lost. So he goes out fishing, thinking that he can rely on his strengths, on his giftings, on his talents, on his past, his expertise. And obviously, in the end, he's not successful because he catches nothing. Jesus, you know, does what Jesus does and performs a miracle, and lots of fish show up. And Peter is super impressed, and even shows up on the shore. And Jesus has got some fish that are already, like, you know, being prepared for him. He's like, "Hey, I'm glad you brought the fish, but I've got some as well. Like, not a big deal, right? All of the best things that you can bring to the table, that's fine, but it's not the point. That's not a big deal." And so, like,
I love that, because what you just described, and I don't know if I've looked at it that way. I always thought of it as Peter was just like, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, he's pretty destitute. Like, man, I followed, like, you start at the beginning where it's like, listen, you know, I don't know if I've got time for all this. And he performs a miracle and there's all kinds of fish, right? Throw your net over one more time. And it's like, okay. Now, we've been out here all night, but we haven't caught anything. And now you come back to the same thing, and it's almost like a replay, and just the gentle reminder of, you silly boy, have you learned nothing that I am the one that brings everything? Even when I'm not here, I still bring everything.
Yeah, and it was actually this last week, as I was prepping the sermon, Melanie's the one that kind of meets with us, and she's like, "Hey, you did notice that da da da," and she talks about the fish being prepared, and yeah, hey, it's pretty good point. Well played, Melanie.
Who knew Jesus was the cook?
Right.
I guess he was on his own before the disciples. I mean, he had to know something, or it would have been a pretty meager existence. But
the best that best that you have to offer, the best you have to drag to the table, Jesus is like, "Well, cool. I'm glad you brought that. I mean, I gave it to you. Your giftings and your talents, like, those are from me." Yeah. So happy for you. But I'm not super impressed, right?
So what do you get the person that has everything?
And that, another fish.
that's wild.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I feel that. I have felt that, and I'm sure in my weaker moments, I will continue to feel that in different times in my life when I get insecure and go, all right, like, what are my strengths that I can lean into in hopes that people, you know, can validate that, or that I can prove my, you know, my place on the team, my value to the community, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So yeah, Peter kind of walks through. My story, maybe some of your stories that are listening to this, it's an easy trap to fall into.
But I think the other part that this makes me think about is those of us here, I don't think we often think of new people coming in and going, "I wonder what their insecurities are." Or even you. I mean, you're a very confident person. You speak with confidence. You move with confidence. You speak intelligently when you have something to add, whether it's fun or intellectual or a combination of both. So I don't think – I certainly haven't sat there and gone, "Man, that's Steve. I wonder if he's going to fit in. You know, I wonder if he's going to make it." But I'm thinking more also, like, if we don't think of that with someone that we see – all the time, how many people walk through our door on a regular basis that look around and go, "Wow, like, I can't possibly, I mean, I used to sing at my church in Ohio, but there's no way I'm asking Melanie or Albert if I can sing, because they're already way better than I could ever be. Or I don't know if I could, I mean, is there something that I could do here in a ministry that maybe isn't already being done by someone who seems really awesome?" And we do. We have a lot of great leaders here. We have a lot of great, I don't want to say programming, but when we set out to do something, whether it's children's Sabbath school or it's a ministry or it's an event, we always shoot for more than excellence. We shoot for perfection, which sometimes is at our own
peril.
Thank you. But I never really thought about someone coming in, and maybe that's a culture change or a culture, maybe an angle that we need to think about a little bit, even for those that might just say, "I'm not leading a ministry right now," or "Right now I'm just attending." But maybe the person next to you could be as simple as "You look great today," or "Man, we're worshiping, man, you sing, you great." So I'm just wondering how you can be supportive of people that might be into what you're talking about, and maybe do a better job of letting people know that we don't have it all together. We're just really, and yeah, there are a ton of talented people, but don't discount your own talents just because you feel like you're surrounded by I mean, you are surrounded by amazing people. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but be amazing with us.
Well, yeah. And I think I don't want anyone to get the impression walking in that, oh, there's not really a place for me here. And I know that that can, especially if you walk in and it seems like, you know, everyone's having a good time and everybody knows everybody and how do I connect here? Yeah. That's something that we've really been working on and really talking about, how to get people from, you know, okay, I'm here, to, okay, now I'm part of what's going on. So, which is why we've, you know, we've developed some mentorship programs and some things like that, so that we have a place for everybody. And, So yeah, don't be shy. If you want to sing, come talk to, go talk to Albert. He's the one who works with developing the musicians here. So, don't feel shy about that. But also I just, you know, Steve, you're talking about coming in and kind of feeling a little bit insecure in the new, I think that feeling of that imposter syndrome of walking in and even sometimes, do I live up to my own name? Do I live up to the expectations that have been built around me? But I think, you know, when we heard that you were coming, all of us were super excited because we were like, oh, cool, Steve is going to be here, you know? So I wonder sometimes also if it's a matter of silencing those voices that are on the inside and listening to the ones on the outside that affirm who you are and trusting the people who said, no, you're supposed to be here. This fits, this works.
Yeah, and if we listen very closely, we can usually hear a variety of voices in our own heads that are sharing both narratives with us. And it's hard to sort through those and figure out which one am I going to listen to? Which one's telling me the truth? And am I surrounding myself with people that are sharing, you know, that are sharing the truth with me? And insecurities rise to the surface when you come to a new space, whether you're coming, you know, like me as a new employee, a new team member, or if, hey, you lived here since the dawn of time, but you're coming into a new church and it's just, this is a new building or these are some new people around me. It takes very little sometimes to bring the worst out of us, to bring the worst out of me. And so being in a safe, and I say this as an indictment of myself, not of the church, I think it's a good reminder of the importance of community like this that can be gracious and forgiving as we sort through those things, because it's so much more than just the one lane we're talking about, but on all levels, like, who am I? What do I have to contribute? What has God gifted me with? What has he called me to do? What's my role in this new space, in this new job, with these new friends, with this new church? And that's the work of a lifetime, I think, sorting through that and figuring out which voices to listen to.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I think you have to, and there's a certain maturity level I think that happens here when you get to this point. But I think at some point you have to also listen and start to, you have to trust somebody. There has to be somebody that you believe, whatever that minimum bar is to overcome, that they're on your side. And here at Whole Life, I know we talk about family a lot. We refer to those that are a part of our church because they've said, I want to be a member. We talk about people that come in from our community that want to just worship with us. They're not looking for, I'm not looking to identify with a church or a family. Those that don't come to church here because of distance and, online, it's our online family. So really, whether we know always the right thing to say, that's the other part, because you're like, what you just described, I'm not sure what I should do. Do I trust this person? Do I talk to this person? There's new people around me. Obviously, we also say in this, we're not perfect. We're doing the best that we plan, we pray, we trust, we collaborate, and then we say, you're our family. And so at some point we're going to get it wrong and we're going to do something that's like, oh man, I wish that didn't happen. Or I wish we were better at this, or we still have room to grow here. But at the end of the day, I feel like the invitation is trust us a little bit and enough to say, I'm really nervous. I'm not sure where I fit in. I'm not sure where my talents are, 'cause it seems a little overwhelming. Find somebody. Melanie's the only one of us right now wearing her orange lanyard, as she should be. And so, rule keeper.
I get extra points.
And it just reminded me that if you're here in person and you visit, look for someone with the orange lanyard or a purple lanyard. The purple lanyards are our welcoming team, and they are there to help you assimilate and to find what you're looking for, get you to the right class, get you to the right service, connect you with the pastor. On the back of every one of those, there is a QR code that'll take you to our Connect card that will say, okay, a little more discreetly, I'd just like to talk to a pastor, or I think I want to be baptized, or any of those kinds of things, you'll find those. So if you do visit us, you know, and if you find yourself on second floor, the elevator's right in the center of the lobby, come up to 204 and say, I'd really like a good cup of coffee. I've heard Randy hangs out here, and I promise I'll make you a nice, I can make you a nice one, but you're going to have to show up in 24 hours. Takes a little while to brew. I don't always have that on hand, but I can make you a hot cup in 5-10 minutes.
You get to move to the front of the line if you bring a bag of beans.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, just... or a fresh bagels with some whipped, cream, not whipped cream, but the whipped kind.
I don't cheese.
Yeah, cream cheese, the whipped cream cheese. That's, I mean, that sounds really snobby, doesn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't sound snobby. It is snobby. Yeah.
Yeah. You can come if you bring beans and the whipped.
Yeah. We're going to have a picture of you in the office.
Yeah. So, but seriously, I think that you're right. No matter, it doesn't even have to be a big church to be intimidated. It's just being in a new place.
Well, I'm thinking about all the stuff you're saying. I think being here for such a short period of time, that's part of what I'm finding is beautiful about Whole Life. Not that it does all of those things perfectly, because it's filled with a bunch of people like myself that are just trying, right? Yeah,
exactly.
We're trying to figure it out. And so what's beautiful about Whole Life isn't that it does all of those things perfectly, but it's that I believe it's filled with people that want to do those things well. Yep. And that are desiring to try to learn to do those things well. Just like me and the three others that are sitting around this table, I think we really just want to, what does it mean to live in community well? Fun fact, I think the top theme in all of Scripture it talks about is unity. Like, what does it look like to live together well? Because that's really hard. Really messy, because people are messy, because I'm messy.
And why is love number one too? Okay. You know, unity and love. Oh, that sounds rosy.
Because it is. It's so rosy. It is. It's so good.
Almost, but both are almost nearly impossible on each other. And then like put them together and it's like, wow.
Man, no, so I'm just saying coming into a space where not where people do it perfectly, but where they're looking at each other and saying, how do we do this better? How do we figure out how to follow Jesus, to live together, to love each other the best that we can? Yeah. And I think that's the posture of this church. It seems to me that that's the posture of this church, is desiring for that. And that goes a long ways.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think what we do on a regular basis is hold what we're doing up against our values.
Yeah.
Are we functioning according to what we say our values are? And that's how we make a lot of our decisions too, you know?
Yeah.
Our participation is one of our values, which means we want people to be involved. We want people to be plugged in. We want people to belong and be in community, and so that means that we want to be intentional about creating spaces for people to be part of what's happening.
I think that's key. I'm glad you said that. The presentation that I gave in Fort Myers about a year and a half ago, that was kind of the core of my thing, is, you know, people, the biggest question people had for me was, you know, how did you get them being like church staff? How did you let them allow you to do this? Or how did you come? It's like, well, it has to go with your values. Like, is it the Bible? Is it worship? Is it participation? Is it love? Is it, you know, is it all of these things? And if it's not, then it's, there's things where you just go, nah, I don't think we're going to waste our time on this. And I was surprised as to how many people. Because the other one was, it feels like your church is like a Fortune 500 company, like you're running on a bunch of rules and bylaws and a very corporate structure. And I'm like, well, if that's corporate structure, then I guess I'm down for it, because at least we know we have guiding principles and we're going to make sure that those are what is guiding our decision making. So like Melanie said, I think that's huge. And the other part is, because it's participation, I feel like it's given people a voice to step up and say, you know what, I don't really like this. Or could we improve on this? Or have you guys thought about starting this kind of a ministry? Or, you know, and then along with the participation, good. you are nominated, right? You know, like, yes. Let's empower you to be that part, and then, you know, continue working alongside and figuring out how to make it work. And that's where I think, like you said, you're not always going to get it right, because new things often fail. They often take wrong turns, you know, and you're like, whoa, that didn't work. Let's try it again, though. So I think that's where not only is it okay to fail, but let's just keep going and let's keep moving forward and getting it as right as often as we can.
We were just reading a book as a staff, and the title of the book, I think it resonates a lot with the culture here. The title was Practicing the Way. Mm. And I think that's what we do here. Like, we're not there yet, but we are a bunch of people that are practicing to get there.
Look at that.
Mic drop.
I know, that's it. What else? You can't follow that. So if there was anything that you, like, prepared for the message that didn't fit in or was like, that's kind of cool, but it's taking me off course. Anything like that that hit the cutting room floor while you were preparing for your message?
Yikes. I mean, there's a lot of things that crossed my mind that I just let them keep going. I mean, so many things.
Anything pertinent or meaningful that didn't make it, that were maybe took it in a different direction, but you thought, oh, that's kind of interesting.
No.
I always like those tidbits.
No, not necessarily. I don't think there was something in particular that I thought, man, I really want to include this, but I can't for the sake of time. I think there was a lot of soul searching for me, trying to figure out what's honest to where I am and to what I'm trying to process, and what's honest to what I see, in this church, the very few things that I understand and that I'm learning about that will be helpful and I think relevant to them. And those things I put into the sermon. And so, there wasn't anything in particular that, was like, man, I just
want to find out.
Include this. No.
Like, hey, what, you know, this would have steered us in the wrong direction, but it was also interesting, or maybe not the wrong direction, but it just wasn't enough to the point that it made my 22.33 second time limit.
What was the time limit?
22 minutes, 33 seconds, I think. Isn't that the normal time limit?
Sure. That's what we're going with, because then we will end up at 25, which is actually where we're supposed to be.
now we're hearing now we know. The curtains are being pulled back. Okay. Yeah.
Now we know how the sausage is made.
I was told 25. Yeah.
You said there were things you didn't understand yet. And I wanted to make sure that you know.
Thank you for that.
In your first, yeah.
I appreciate that. There are witnesses.
Yeah. If someone watches the message, and I always like to give this opportunity, not so much to Ken, because we like to put Ken on the spot, but if there's something from your message that you finished preparing, you and Melanie finished meeting and going over the message, and you're like, man, if someone takes away this would be my core. What do you hope that people walk away from the message and just go, still thinking about it Saturday afternoon, Sunday, next week? What's most important?
I want people, and by people I mean me, I want humanity to find the most secure walk with Jesus that they can find. I really do. I see it in churches, in churchy people, and I'm one of them, trying so desperately to figure out, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Like, what's the equation? What are the things that I need to, the boxes I need to check and the successes I need to have? What are the things I need to remove from my life and the things I need to add to my life? And don't get me wrong, those matter. But going through those and the incredible amount of shame, guilt, confusion, just the disorienting journey that I think it can take me on. And I so desperately want people to find the beauty in looking Jesus in the eye and him looking back at them and saying, like, hey, you're enough. Like, we're good. And I'm glad for your strengths, but hey, like, stop focusing on those. And yeah, like, life is messy. There are problems, but just, hey, look back here. And sure, there are other people around you can compare yourself to, but don't waste your time. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I love you. You love me. I love you. Trust me. Like, I'm with you in this. And that's what I want. I want people to just, like, get home today, this afternoon, after church, and to sit down and to go, I am more deeply loved than I could have possibly understood, and I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm loved. That's what I want.
That's exciting. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to not immediately just think to yourself, oh, man, that sounds so good.
Sounds so good.
It sounds so refreshing.
And then life just like shoves you, right?
You know, places that I allow my brain to go that you're just like, it's useless. I've been here before. You know, you've been on this planet. How long do you have to be here before you just should know, like, this is not a direction or a path that ever leads to anything but me later saying, oh, that's right, you were enough and you were there and you took care of me and you once again worked out details in a manner that no one could possibly have put. If you put all the pieces with the answer on it, there's no way humanity could have figured out how to put these pieces together in the same exact order, timing, level, any of it. And yet it's like we still go through the same thing. So that's pretty awesome. Thank you. Did we have a question? We did have a question from the chat, right, Lucas?
We did, yeah.
All right, here we go.
From Anonymous. If we are doing good things for God, how do we know if we are connected to the bigger purpose or if we are going through the motions? Is it just about how we feel?
Anonymous is a good friend of mine. We're very close. Yeah. Love them.
I feel like that too, even though I don't know them.
Yeah, yeah. Figuring out motives is a weird thing, isn't it? And I referenced this in early service. I don't know what we'll do in the second service, but just the idea when we talk about motives sometimes, and I'm sure this is not where the question is coming from, but for some, it easily lands in a space of I'm trying to figure out other people's motives. Like, are they, yeah. For those who may struggle.
What is the criteria by which?
Yeah.
Here's that trust thing again.
Yeah. Are they working from the right motives, from the right place, from the right space, with the right desire? The line that I've landed on for me, this is just a made up line that I tell myself this literally when someone cuts me off in traffic, which doesn't happen on I-4. When I have any interaction with people that could cause me to go, oh, come on. And it's basically this. It says that everyone is doing the best they can with the tools they have in the moment they're in. And I tell myself that over and over and over again to look at them and say, like, that was really rude or that was really messed up or that was really offensive. But I'll bet, I'm going to assume that you're doing the best that you can with the tools that you have right now in the moment that you're in. And I could be wrong, but I want to default to assuming that if I were in your shoes, I would be doing the same thing and I'd be struggling in the same way. I could be wrong, but that's between them and God to sort out. So it's given me a lot of freedom to step back and say, whatever their motives are, I'm going to assume that they have the best of intentions. So there's that. It's not a biblical thing. This is a me thing that I have found is helpful for me every day when I wake up. So there's that. I think I'm getting a look over here, and I know.
No, I'm feeling very convicted about the judgments that I pass when I'm driving on I-4 right now.
Hey, you come up with your own line, okay? It's whatever you need. This is a me line.
I will try to get to the point where I'm like, I'm sure you had a good reason for doing that.
I saw you from 48 cars back in the right lane when you knew that lane was ending just like I did. But I'll assume that I'm, you know, no.
Hey, so no, this what is it called? The, what's the book? The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Mm-hmm. Yeah. His example, he tells a story in the beginning about the guy who's on the subway with his kids and they're running all over the place and they're hitting people's newspapers. Obviously, it was written a long time ago. And finally, someone walks over to the dad and he's like, hey, control your kids. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, pull it together. And he says, yeah, I'm really sorry. We just left the hospital where their mom died. They don't know how to handle it either. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the person that's sitting on the train that isn't controlling their kids, it's like, all right, you might really need to pull it together and do something, but you also might really have something happening in your life that I know nothing about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I want to default to that as much as possible. So there's that, but that's other people. For myself, when it comes to motives though, number one, I found that usually I don't know, that it's really hard to sort through that and figure out where is this coming from. But the initial indicator that I have some concern for myself is when my thoughts are more wrapped up in how I'm being perceived in the moment than how God is being perceived. And when I find those feelings show up, because they do.
Yeah.
They show up every now and again, more than I'd like to admit. That's a good moment for me to check myself and go, okay, this is coming from a place that isn't ideal. It's not where I want it to come from. And it is about me and my motives or not. And that's been a good safety check.
That's for good. Me. That's also how I know that you're in the right seat in the right bus here at Whole Life. If you look at the rules that's written on Ken's board, it is a rules for us when we meet there once a week for yep. a multitude of different meetings.
Rules for engagement.
One of the rules that we've had since I've been here anyway, probably since Ken, is the assuming good intent. That, you know, even if it comes out wrong, even if it isn't perceived or taken in the way that it was intended, we're going to assume good intent until we find out otherwise. And then we're probably going to make you buy us lunch or something as payment.
No, that's the spirit. Yeah.
Assuming good intent. I love that. So, okay. Well, thank you for coming. I hear the hallway is getting noisier and noisier. That means everyone is out of Sabbath school classes. They are ready to head back in for second service, which
means it's almost time for Steve to preach.
It's almost time again. For Steve 2.0 and Melanie to escort him downstairs amongst his fans and keep them aside so that he can make it there on time.
He's going to show up in his motorcycle.
I'm the bouncer.
Yes. The bouncer. Church,
the hallway bouncer.
Should have rode the Triumph in. I think when we need to do a double preach, we do have ramps. I'm not sure wheelbase if we can get up there. We can try it though beforehand. I think we should drive them in from both sides.
We'll circle back to this. There are some logistical issues that we might have to address.
Okay.
We'll find a way.
Don't give up.
I like Lucas's positive attitude here, right?
We're practicing the way.
Right. Yeah. And Melanie's assuming good intent on our side. Mm-hmm. And we're just running with it. So next week, join us again because it's going to be a back to school message with Aubrey Tope. And I'm not sure if she's been, I feel like she had to have been on before, but oh, you know what? I know she preached before, but I think she was gone. I think she left right after that message and we didn't get a chance to do that. So we will do our best. So you can meet her here on the podcast as well. She is our family and children's ministry pastor. So Steve, thanks again for taking the time between services. It's like preach, preach, and then go preach. And so I'm sorry that it's three in a row, but
happy to be here
for making it possible. So we never like to miss anyone preaching, if possible, to get them on the podcast. So guys, thanks for listening and have a great week.